parents or? We celebrate today the fourth Sunday following Pentecost. As you can hear in the prayers, we continue to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, which has placed the Word of God in our hearts so that we may proclaim to the nations his good news. The epistle and gospel today, I think, are relatively easy to understand and quite familiar with us. So I thought I would say a few words today about our country. Last Sunday, we discussed the historic moment in which our country finally, thank God, began to turn back to the gospel of life. Through the incredibly grace-filled decision of the Supreme Court and those Christians who are among them. I mentioned last week how this was just the beginning of the Reconquista. When the godless Muslims had conquered Spain and Portugal, after centuries, a few courageous men took up swords and began to slowly push the godless Muslim invaders out of their country. This began with a small handful of men with swords who were hiding out in a cave in the mountains. And they decided enough was enough. They would either live or die, but they would do what they could to give freedom back to their Christian nation. And so they drew their swords, stepped out of that cave, came down the mountain, and village after village chased the pagans out of their country, pushing them all the way eventually to the Strait of Gibraltar, where they waved goodbye to them as they fled back across to North Africa. A few brave men began the Reconquista, but all of the men and the people of Spain and Portugal finished the Reconquista. There's an old saying, it's been attributed to various people, but it doesn't really matter. Who said it? All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. I think the beginning of the Reconquista and its eventual completion is a great example of this, where men were trembling in fear at the invaders. But eventually a few stood up, just a handful of men, and with their courage and the gift of God and blessings, they were able to begin to slowly, village by village, chase the invaders out and be joined in their ranks by the men of each village until finally the entire nation participated in the Reconquista and completed the job. I mentioned last Sunday how we had just begun the Reconquista. Through God's mercy, may we see it completed. It began with the Supreme Court on the other side of the United States, like a little cave in the mountains, and has quickly spread across this country so that we already have as many as 10 states completely banning abortion and others putting many restrictions on this horrific thing. And so the Reconquista has begun. And state by state, like the village after village in Spain and Portugal, the gospel of life will prevail. But it will require more than just a few men coming out of the cave. It will require all of us together to complete the Reconquista And I would imagine the beaches of California are Straits of Gibraltar. We celebrate this weekend in the United States, the 4th of July, the 2nd of July, when they voted for independence, the 4th, when they signed it. We celebrate during these few days the decision of our forefathers in this country to declare independence from England. Whether or not that was a wise decision, we can maybe debate at the coffee social. But there we have it. This is part of history. Here we now stand, 244 years later, the average empire or kingdom or nation government lasts about 250 years. Those who are historians can tell you about this. On average, throughout human history, a nation, its government, its system of government, or an empire, on average lasts about 250 years. What causes its demise? Two factors. Moral decay of the people of that nation, and an ever-expanding government that no longer serves the people, but is rather served by the people. A government, and as you know in our Constitution, is intended to be the servant of the people. But what happens in every nation, regardless of whether it is a monarchy, a democracy, whatever type of government you want, throughout history, historians have shown that the government will grow and become so large with its bureaucracy that it becomes a monster that must be fed. And toward the end of that kingdom, that nation, that government, the government has become the master and the citizens the servants, feeding the master, which gets ever larger by the day. Eventually, the system dies because the citizens cannot support an ever-growing machine. Eventually, the system succumbs. We have 6 short years before we hit the average. If you want to count the beginning of the United States, the 13 colonies, 1776, July 2nd or July 4th, we are now 244 years later. If we're going to be an average nation, we have somewhere in the range of about 6 years left. I think we in America, the United States, have this egocentric attitude that somehow this nation was established by God, and therefore, if God is with us, who can be against us, et cetera, et cetera. We should learn a lesson from Holy Scripture. If God is with us, who can stand against us? These are the words of Joshua. When the Israelites were about to go into the land he had promised to Abraham and chase out the pagans, the Israelites were afraid. How can we go in, we, a small nation, and conquer these mighty nations with fortified cities? And Who are we that we could do such a thing? Joshua answered them, along with Caleb, if God is with us, who can stand against us? If God is with us. That's an important subjunctive. Israel found that when they went into battle, they had to do two things, and God told them this through Joshua, and you can read about this in Joshua chapter 1. Two things they must do to be victorious in the mission they have before them. To conquer this land, chase the pagans out, and maintain their control of it. Two things. They must be courageous, and they must be righteous. They must be courageous and righteous. And we see the Israelites through the book of Joshua and Judges, sometimes doing both, very rarely, but usually only doing one and sometimes neither. Sometimes they go out into battle, courageous and righteous, and they conquer Jericho, the greatest city of the region. After that, they attempted to conquer the small village of Ai, but they were defeated. What happened? They were very courageous. If we can conquer Jericho, what could we do to this little village Ai? Easy. In each stage, the people in the villages, of course, had opportunity to repent of their paganism and join the kingdom of God. Some actually did, most did not. The Israelites attack the small city of Ai and were defeated. The Israelites fled in the battle. What was the difference? There was sin in the camp. Immorality. They had not kept the word of God between the conquering of Jericho and the attack of Ai. They were very courageous. But they went in battle with that courage, and they were defeated because of their immorality. Not keeping the word of God and keeping his commandments. And when Joshua cried out to the Lord, why has this happened, O Lord? God said to Joshua, why do you cry out to me? This is very simple. While you were courageous in battle, there is sin in your camp. And as long as you are not with me, I will not be with you. And so Joshua quickly eliminated the problem in the camp, and they continued to then conquer the land. As you read through the book of Joshua and Judges, you see this happen over and over. Lack of courage, they don't go out to battle. Lack of righteousness, they go to battle and are defeated. But when they are courageous and righteous, when they are courageous and righteous, they are with God, then he is with them, and no one could stand against them. And so we have to ask our question about our country. While we sit on our high horse, thinking, who could defeat us? Look at what we've done since 1776 until today. What nation has been able to defeat us? I would say this, that in the early stages of the United States, and up until relatively recently, there was a lot of courage and a lot of righteousness. The Christian faith saturated everything this country did. Was it perfect in 1776? No. It was a long period of growth. A lot of problems that had been inherited from the previous kingdom from which they broke. But eventually, the United States became a good, strong, righteous kingdom of God. But just like ancient Israel, when they finally went through this learning process and finally established themselves in the kingdom, in the region there, and became this mighty power, then two problems began to arise. Solomon, in all his power and greed, began to overtax the people. Not being happy with just the basic need of the military and the basic need of the palace, the government, he increased the taxes. And he drew more taxes from the nations his father David had conquered around him, from Egypt to the Euphrates. Solomon, this wise man, became extremely foolish in his power. And so as we hear in 1 Kings, he was the most powerful and the most richest man on earth. As we continue to read in 1 Kings about the kingdom of Solomon, this high point of Israel, we find that Solomon began to marry many wives, up to 1,000. These were marriage alliances with the nations around him. God had commanded the people of Israel that they were not to make marriages or alliances with the nations around them, because when they do that, they will turn you to their gods. But the Israelites began to intermarry with the pagans that were left in the land. Solomon himself married 1,000 women, many of those, the vast majority of those, pagan women from the land and from the regions around them, the Ammonites, the Moabites, etc. And as the author of 1 Kings tells us, they turned his heart away from the Lord, and he began to go after these other gods. After having built the temple of God in Jerusalem, he then went across the Kidron Valley and covered the Mount of Olives with temples to the pagan gods. And God sent a prophet, Ahijah, and others to warn them that destruction was soon on its way. Solomon was very courageous, but immorality, beginning with the king down to the average person, had spread throughout the nation. Paganism had infected them, and they'd become like the people of the land that they had chased out before. God warned them in Deuteronomy through Moses. You can read about this in chapters 8 and 9. Do not think that I am giving you this land because of your righteousness. You are a stiff-necked people. But I'm giving you this land because you are the descendants of Abraham, to whom I promised this land, and I am faithful to my promises. It's not because of your righteousness, but because of my righteousness, because I keep my promises. And that is why you are going into this land. And when you get in there, you will chase out the pagans that are there. But do not think it is because of your righteousness that you have been chosen, but rather it is because of their wickedness that you are chasing them out, and to fulfill the promise to Abraham, you are my instrument for this job. But if you turn and become like the people of this land, whom you are chasing out, and go after and worship the pagan gods that they were worshiping, then I will remove you from this land as well. He warned them very sternly. Tragically, beginning with Solomon, all the way until the end of the kingdom, when the Babylonians attacked in 587, we see this progression. In fact, the author of Kings, 1 Kings, even quoting Deuteronomy, says, and the people became like the people of the land that they had chased out. He's hoping that the reader has ears to hear the echo to Deuteronomy. And the next few chapters, the author of 1 Kings describes, or 2 Kings, describes the attack of the Babylonians, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the exile to Babylon, etc. Here we are, 244 years later, after the Declaration of Independence. Again, whether or not that declaration was a good idea or not, we can debate and discuss these things during the coffee social. I think it's an interesting question. But here we are, an independent nation in 1776 until today, 244 years later. And as I said, the average nation, the average empire, the average governmental system lasts approximately 250 years. If we are going to fit within the average, that gives us somewhere in the range of 6 years. Now, this is an average. It could be 1 year. It could be 10. But the odds are, if we are going to be like every single nation that has seen the face of this earth from the beginning of mankind until today, that our government, our system, will eventually come to an end. And again, as I said, if we are so egotistical to think that, that is what's happened to every other nation in history, but we are different. We will continue. We will remain. For God is with us. It's even on our dollar bill. Right? We refer to God, pledge of allegiance, and everything. Look at that. Boy, that's a lot of courage. Boy, we got a lot of courage. But we must also have the righteousness to be with God so that He is with us. I would say we did not have that. A sign that we did not have that are multiple atrocities the United States has done in the last few decades, last century especially. But a clear sign that while we may have been courageous, immorality was rotting out the heart of this country is the horrible decision of Roe versus Wade. And with that, this cancerous rot in our nation began to spread throughout the entire nation. Thank God for our previous president, who made the appointments he made on the Supreme Court, putting Christians back in the Supreme Court, so that at least we could begin the Reconquista with that decision they made not too long ago. Thank God they have remained strong. Pray for the Supreme Court justices, especially the Christians who are under persecution, especially Clarence Thomas. He is the most righteous man of that group, and he's being persecuted the most. We must be strong for him. We must pray for him every day. When you think of the Supreme Court, when you see the news and all these riots and whatever's going on, pray for the Supreme Court, pray for Clarence Thomas, pray for all of them, especially Christians. Pray for our nation. And remember that we have just begun the Reconquista. And if we stand up, if a few good men stand up, then evil will not prevail. We must be like those men that came out of the cave. It was have their courage. See what they did. And pick up swords with them and finish the war. And if we are righteous, not just courageous, but we are righteous, we will prevail. For God will be with us. We must live lives of righteousness. Every day we must pray. Every day we must repent of our sins. Every day we must read Holy Scripture. Every day we must proclaim the gospel to the nations. Every day we must swing our sword with the sign of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, sir. And with that, the enemy flees. If we do that, in Jesus, we will see the end of the reconquista in this nation. And who knows? We may be something other than the average. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and to age of ages.
Let us all say with our whole soul and our whole mind.